From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Tommy McNeil reporting. The exchange of threats and harsh rhetoric between North Korea and U.S. President Donald Trump has rattled many investors. Stock prices fell in Asia, Europe, and the United States, while demand rose for safe haven investments like gold. Wednesday, key stock indexes in Hong Kong, Germany, and France were down by 1% or more. U.S. stocks were off as much as 0.4% during Wednesday's trading. Meanwhile, State Department spokesperson Heather Nauert says Secretary of State Rex Tillerson and many others stand with President Trump.
We would like to see results. The pressure campaign, we see that working. The international community is in agreement with the United States and many of our partners and allies on putting additional pressure on North Korea. The secretary happens to be coming back from the ASEAN conference, where they had tremendous success. It was a good week for diplomacy.
In North Korea's threat against Guam spotlights a Western Pacific U.S. territory that looms large as a military asset despite being smaller than Singapore. However, its governor, Eddie Ibaza Calvo, says he is not rattled by the North Korean threats.
At this point, there has been no change in the security situation here in Guam. I've gotten assurances, again, from all levels, both local command and in Washington, D.C., that this island will be defended and is and the United States military has their forces ready to protect and defend not only Guam, but all American interest in this region and the homeland.
Naval Base Guam is home port for 4 nuclear-powered fast-attack submarines and 2 submarine tenders. Pyongyang is only 3,380 kilometers northwest of Guam. This is VOA News. Kenyan President Uhuru Kenyatta appears headed for re-election while his opponent charges massive fraud in Tuesday's elections. Kenya's Election Commission said as of late Wednesday, with 96% of polling stations counted, Kenyatta led opposition leader Raila Odinga 54-44%. But Odinga alleges that hackers carried out what he calls a massive and extensive attack on the Election Commission's computer system and that the results announced so far are fraudulent. Officials have up to a week to verify the results and announce a winner. Human smugglers drowned about 50 teenage Somali and Ethiopian migrants by shoving them into the water off the coast of Yemen. Staff of the International Organization for Migration found the shallow graves of many of the young victims during a beach patrol in Yemen's southern Shabwa province. Survivors who buried the dead said that they were among about 120 people aboard a boat sailing from the Horn of Africa to Yemen, a crossing of about 200 to 300 kilometers. The smugglers apparently feared they had been spotted by authorities on shore and abruptly forced all their passengers overboard. About 80% of Yemen's people are in need of food and medical care, and the country also is trying to deal with a cholera outbreak. 6 Red Cross workers are among 30 people killed in clashes between a militia and a self-defense group in southeastern Central African Republic. News of that bloodshed emerged Wednesday, 6 days after the violent fighting at a health center in Gombo. Last week's incident was the third this year in which Red Cross workers and the CAR have been among the casualties. U.S. Federal Bureau of Investigation agents did in fact raid the home of President Donald Trump's former campaign chief in the pre-dawn hours late last month. The raid on the home of Paul Manafort, a longtime Republican political operative who has been deep financial ties and had financial ties to Russia and Ukraine, occurred just outside Washington in suburban Virginia and without warning. Aides to the 68-year-old Manafort confirmed Wednesday that federal agents executed a search warrant on July 26th, seizing documents and other materials. Pakistan's former prime minister, Nawaz Sharif, held a rally Wednesday to demonstrate political power just days after the country's highest court disqualified him for holding office for concealing his assets. He left the national capital, Islamabad, Wednesday, bound for Lahore, his native city in eastern Pakistan, and he traveled in a luxury car, leading a caravan of about 800 private government forces. I'm Tommy McNeil in Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.